This episode of Trophy Horrors is brought to you in part by Play31.net. Play31.net offers single tables, speed, sit and go tournaments, and regularly scheduled multi-table freeze-out tournaments with hundreds of players. Make sure to use code 1212 when registering. That's Play31.net.
Lego.
It's Lego, not Lego.
Put the trophies up, it's another episode. I told you long time ago, we about to explode. With something mean, supposed to be elite. But I told that be so awesome and that down and be amazing. But enough about me, yes, we all played the part to make it this far. But honestly, when it was for the fans, it would have been kids a long time ago. Bio, born on SG, grew up on CDP. Any mood, I didn't got it wrong, we call it PG. Where the M, I don't blame much for the violence in your household. Be home.
Trophy whore.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Trophy Horrors. This is episode 196. That's right. Again, you're getting two episodes this week. Hopefully, if Donnie ever releases, fixes all his editing problems and comes out with the shows. As you heard for episode 195, which was we just recorded, you had Alex, but this episode we're not going to have Alex because we ran a little long in time for 195, so he was unable to join us for this episode. But still with us is I Yield to No One.
Yeah, let's get this show on the road.
And Mr. Donnie.
Yeah, what else can I say that I haven't said a few minutes ago?
All right, like we did last week, we're going to skip over our updated trophies and what we're playing because it's pretty much the same thing that we were talking about an hour ago. So let's jump right into our topics. Our first topic is there is going to be a big patch coming for the crew.
Now, have you played this game?
Yes, I own this game.
Okay, how is it? Because this is the one that to drive coast to coast, it really takes you like 2.5 hours in-game, right?
That's correct.
Well, not in-game, real time, it takes you 2.5 hours to drive coast to coast.
Correct.
Okay, so comparing it to like a racing game like that I have played, you know, Burnout, Hot Pursuit, we'll even say Split Second because it's a racing game, but I know it's more of an open world. Try to sell me on that game because the trailers looked intriguing, but try and sell me on that game as compared to what was the other one that came out?
Need for Speed?
No.
There was another
Drive
one.
Club?
There was a crew and there was another one.
Drive Club?
Yeah. Drive Club. There you go. Sell me on this game.
Okay, I have not played Drive Club.
Okay.
I have played the crew. I like it. You do level up your cars, but it's not as you do in Need for Speed. It's pretty much they have challenges you could do, whether it be a driving up the side of a cliff challenge or a jump challenge or a slalom challenge or a speed challenge, and you get parts that you can unlock for your car that makes it better. You have 5 different car types for the same car. So let's say if you choose your starting car to be the Camaro, you have the street version, you have the performance version, you have the luxury version, and you have the, what did I say already?
Off-road version.
You have the street, the performance, the luxury, and I'm forgetting the other two, and I forget, I'm sorry.
Well, it has to be an off-road version if you got all those.
Off-road version. And a dirt version is what I was thinking of. And I can't remember the other one.
Dirt version.
But
yeah, dirt would be off-road.
Dirt's your off-road version, yes.
Oh.
Well, you might be talking about Icy. Because I remember...
No, it's not Icy. It's just, as you do certain challenges, you have... You know, you have to take a different car. I mean, like,
so,
if you're racing on...
So in the best way to explain it is it's sort of Burnout-ish.
It's...
Yes and no.
It's open world in the fact that you don't have to stay on the streets and you can literally drive into the middle of the woods to avoid things. But it's more Need for Speed like in the fact that there are constant challenges to be done.
Okay.
It's one of those games where you have to play it to really fully understand it. And once you get a PlayStation 4, I can do a share play with you. And you can play for, you know, the hour or whatever it is.
Okay.
And you can get a feel for it. I would buy this game. It is worth the money.
It sounded fun. Now, can you, like in the trailer, they made it seem like you could change cars on the fly. Like they're racing on the street, they go off-road, and the cars transform into their off-road form. Can you do that, or do you got to go to a garage? I want this car, now I got to go and race.
You don't have to go to the garage to unlock the car, but it's not like you're racing on the street, and now all of a sudden your tires hit the dirt, and your car automatically transforms. If you're being chased by the cops, you can't just go, like, you can't have your performance car, which, you know, runs its best on the streets, and then all of a sudden decide to dip into the woods, because once your performance car goes into the woods, you see a very big drop-off in the performance of the vehicle. You start sliding more, your car doesn't go as fast, and it's not like your car instantly transforms into the dirt car, because now you went into the woods. You go into the menu, you can, you know, if you know you're going off-road on a challenge or whatever, you can change your cars. But often, like if you're driving your street car and you pull up to a challenge and the challenge is a dirt challenge, it will switch your car to the dirt version of your car for that challenge. It's one of those games where you got to play to really understand it. I definitely would buy this game. If I was you and had a PlayStation 4, I would definitely buy this game.
Okay. Anyway, so they're having a patch.
Yes, the patch notes have been given out for a new content update coming to the crew next week that will tune several major gameplay elements and add a new mode to multiplayer. In addition to tweaks that will improve the frame rate in the cockpit view and adjust handling of some vehicles, players will get to experience a new PvP race elimination mode on 10 new tracks and access 4 new faction challenges. Here's what to expect on February 12th when this content patch comes out. As I said already, you're going to get a new PvP mode with an elimination race with 10 new tracks available and 4 new faction missions. Fixes and updates. Your online, your quick co-op feature has been improved, and several bugs related to joining sessions have been fixed. Your lobby has been improved for the PvP, and your session improvements for faster matchmaking. Statistics fixed issue where this causes statistics to delay incorrect data. You get a different, there's a fix for the awards, the challenges, the frame rate, the UI, your friends, the cars, the missions, the gameplay. It's all been fixed, and the crew is expected to receive its second DLC, the Speed Car Pack, which includes 3 new cars later this month. One thing I also said about this game, and I will tell you, before we move on to our next topic, you know, this game is called The Crew. And if you're playing it solo by yourself and you're not playing in a crew, you're really missing a big part of the game. So I would definitely, if you're going to play this game, I would play as a crew.
See, that's the downfall for me in that game. Like, I'm not a huge multiplayer person. Like, unless somebody asks me, like, to come help them out in the game, I'm not really almost not going to.
Well, see the good thing about the multiplayer in this game is it doesn't really it's okay. The PvP is different, but as you go into the story mode, you know, you pull up to a mission. Say you have to do a race. Me and you will get into the race with the same amount of UI cars in normal, as long as one of us wins the race. We could move on in the story. But depending on how well you did in the race is whether or not you get gold, silver, or bronze. I could win the race and get a gold, but you could also go with it and you can only earn the bronze or the silver. You don't automatically earn gold just because I earned gold.
Now, ho, you just said something that really intrigued me and kind of made me worried. So I can't progress in the story if I'm playing multiplayer without you progressing with me.
What do you mean?
Like, you said something along the lines of, then if you do a race, like, we don't necessarily have to be on at the same time to do a race, but until you do that race, that's when we can progress in the story.
No. Because right now I played the game. So when you start playing the game, you're going to start at the beginning where I'm already like level 35, I think it is. you come on and you cannot beat a race, or your performance, your car is not performing up to the standards it needs to perform to finish that race. As a crew, you can bring me into your crew. You start that mission. Now I do the same mission with you, and I could win the race to pass that mission for you, and you can move on. And I know that sounds like a little messed up because it's saying, well, I didn't win the race, I shouldn't move on. But that's the reason for this game, is you do everything as a crew. The game is not designed to do everything by yourself.
Hey, that's understandable.
Do you have a Trophy Horse crew?
I have a Trophy Horse clan. Currently, right now, my clan is Philosophy and RC Stash, because they're the only ones that joined up. I do have some random people join in, but most of them, I tell them when they join it, unless you're going to be playing this game consistently, I'm going to kick you out of the crew because there will only spot for four people, so I can get more people in.
Gotcha. So when I get it, I'll be in the clan. Sweet.
Right, and I'll probably kick Stash or Phil out because they're by that time they'll be done playing that game.
They've moved on.
Right. All right, the next thing we have is Rebellion has announced the Zombie Army Trilogy will be released worldwide on March 6th for the PS4, the Xbox One, and the PC. The pack will come bundled with Sniper Elite Nazi Zombie Army 1 and 2, as well as the new Zombie Army 3. In the zombie spinoff to the Sniper Elite series, players battle demon soldiers across alternate reality versions of World War II Germany. You can play in co-op up to four players and take on zombies, skeletons, and perhaps an even demonic Hitler. Zombie Army Trilogy will be the first time console users will get a taste of the cult PC series for themselves. And for PC users, there is a 60% discount for those who own the first two games on Steam. Now, Yield, I think you played the Sniper Elite series?
Yes.
Have you ever heard of the Zombie Army Trilogy?
No, I haven't. That's why I was wondering. I'm like, they actually announced a whole trilogy of games?
Well, that's the thing, is apparently there's been Zombie 1 and 2 has been released yet. Already, and they're coming out with a third one. But 1 and 2 were only on the PC. This is the first time that it's coming to consoles. Now, as a fan of the Sniper Elite series, does this intrigue you now that they're doing a zombie spinoff of the series? Well, they've been doing it, but now that it's bringing it to consoles.
Possibly because for the fact that, is it going to be a different game or is it going to be exactly the same game, just zombies?
I don't know. I didn't know about this until I saw this article.
Me personally, I am a World War II nut. So if you make a game about World War II and make it halfway decent, I'm there. Take my money. Let's play. Because as much as I enjoy modern weapons, I am a much more fan of the older dogfights, ship-to-ship battles, and the ground and pound. So a zombie version of that? All right. You make it halfway decent, I'm game.
All right. Maybe I'll buy it and I'll check it out. I mean, it's not coming for the PS3, so I don't know if this is one of those games you're going to look to buy when you get your PlayStation 4.
Possibly. We'll see.
All right. And, Donnie, you don't have any interest in talking about this because you don't know anything about Sniper Elite, do you?
Nope. Never heard. Well, I heard of it, but nope.
Alright, this next topic, I know that you're going to have a lot to talk about, so literally I'm going to announce it, and then I'm going to go smoke a cigarette for the 15 minutes you're going to be rambling on.
Dude, I know you have to be here because me and you are the only ones who are fans of this game.
No, I'm just saying you're going to go for 15 minutes before I'm able to say anything.
No, I'm not.
Alright, hold on. Okay. Alright, Kojima... And Donnie's favorite, Donnie, say Kojima.
Kojima.
You say Hideo. Say Hideo.
Hideo? That's how you pronounce it, right?
That's not the way you normally say it.
It is. Hideo Kojima.
Yeah, but normally when you're mad at him, you say it a different way.
Hodeo.
Hodeo. Hideo Kojima has expressed desire for an open-world remake of the original Metal Gear Solid for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. During an interview with Japanese publication Famitsu, Kojima was asked if PlayStation 4 owners would ever be able to buy earlier titles in the series and responded that he was, quote, too busy to man such a project. Elaborating further, Kojima revealed that he would love to play in an entirely open world reimagining of Shadow Moses, but doesn't have the manpower to do it himself. Yet, sadly, for Metal Gear fans, Kojima also confirmed that no other studios have stepped forward and offered to remake the original. Now that the Metal Gear creator has stated his desire for an open-world remake of the 1998 classic, only time will tell if a studio will take him up on the offer. Donnie, I'm going to let you go, but I'm going to let you go after I ask you this question. Would you rather them remake the game and reboot it, or not reboot it, remaster it, or take the Shadow Moses environment and make it open world, a la the way they did with Ground Zeroes?
Can I take option three?
Option three is on the board. You choose option three.
Right. Option three is just leave it alone. Please, just leave it alone. Yes, I am... And I say this being like, yes, I consider myself like one of the number one fans of Metal Gear. But at the same time, by me being a huge fan that I am, I know when enough is enough. Like, we had enough of these reboots and remakes. The best one you did was Metal Gear 3. That's all we really, really needed to know is Metal Gear 3. And that sums up all the rest of the Metal Gear games. And this statement right here kind of made me my question. Like, who was doing this interview? His name is it Tom Reagan who did the interview, or he just wrote it?
Tom Reagan is the one that wrote this article, but he was talking in an interview with Famitsu.
Okay, well, the question was asked, Kojima was asked if PlayStation 4 owners will be able to play early titles of the series, which, once again, just leave it alone. If you want to play earlier installments, just keep your Station 1 or just get another Station 1 and play the game. And like I mentioned before, Metal Gear games are pretty much open world. You can't go into like the woods or whatever that you see in the background, but it's a big open space that you can run around in. It's not like you can't go in all open doors as far as like cars and each open door that you see. But again, even in an open world game as Grand Theft Auto, you can't go in every single door you see also. So Metal Gear look at Metal Gear as being like a half open world game or maybe three quarters of an open world game. And if this game that they're coming out with, Phantom Pain, isn't a remake of, oh my goodness, not Shadow Moses, but Zanzibar Land, that Shadow Moses actually speak on before the incidents that happened before Shadow Moses. Because I believe that Phantom Pain is Zanzibar Land. I hope it is. And if it's not, I really don't care about any prequel games, but make a Zanzibar Land prequel. Make something that we haven't yet to play, even though we do know about every single thing in Metal Gear, but at least make something that we have yet to play, and which is, man, we have played Zanzibar Land because it was in the early, like, the Nintendo versions, but still, I hope you get what I'm saying. Like, please,
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, but on the same token, you know, I would die, I wouldn't die, but I really want to play.
You sound like a Michael Jackson fan now.
Well,
at a concert.
I want a reboot, not a reboot, a remaster of the original Metal Gear.
No.
Whoa. Are you talking Metal Gear Solid, or are you talking Metal Gear for the NES?
I'm talking about Metal Gear Solid.
Okay, because you said Metal Gear, there are two.
Oh. Okay, yeah, I stand corrected.
But Phantom Pain will be a reboot, a remake of the Metal Gear Nintendo versions.
I don't think it is.
They can't tell us anything new about Metal Gear. The only thing they can tell us new about Metal Gear is, like, the birth of Bit Boss. I mean, not like Metal Gear 3. I'm talking about his actual birth mom giving birth to the guy. That's the only thing new they can tell us about the guy of Metal Gear. Everything else has been told already.
Okay, well, I didn't finish, what was the PC, the PSP version?
That's Peace Walker.
I didn't finish Peace Walker.
Okay, well, it's been told. Peace Walker takes up to,
did Peace between. Walker, but did Peace Walker end with the Three Snakes being born? Because I think that's where this one's going to lead to, is up to how Solid, Liquidus, and Solidus came to be.
But yeah, that's what I said. I said that in the very early stages of this game.
Well, then, in that case, there's a story for them to tell then.
Then it's no, it's not, because it has been told. It's been told in part one, and it's been told in part one, it's been told in Metal Gear 4 again. And yeah, so it's, yes, everything has been told. By the end of part four, if you play 1, 2, 3, not including Peace Walker, because Peace Walker just is giving you a playable version of the story that they told already. But if you play 1, 2, 3, and 4, 4 summed up every single thing you want to know or you need to know of the Metal Gear universe.
I think 4 wrapped up Solid's story. I don't think it wrapped up Big Boss's story.
It did. It wrapped. First of all, I still don't think that's Bit Boss you're playing with, because in Phantom Pain, I don't think you're playing with Bit Boss because he has a robot arm. That's what's throwing me off right now, because in none of the story from 1 through 3 has mentioned that anything about Boss having a metal arm, even though he was like blown to pieces and the second time Snake fought him, which was Zanzibar Land in the Nintendo versions, and 4 came at the end at the graveyard. Spoiler: graveyard at post credit when Bit Boss was talking to Snake, he explained where he was and how they kept him alive. So even though he had gloves on, I still think that was a hand with flesh and bone up under that glove.
Well, there's no way for know for sure.
Yeah, there's no way we can know for sure, but the way I know graphics also, but Metal Gear cutscenes are very known for, Metal Gear period is known for very, very good detailed graphics. And if you just look at the way the gloves moves and all that stuff, it doesn't move in a way that a metal hand would be up under there and all that stuff.
All right, well, I mean, we're going to have to wait and see when the game comes out to actually get the answers to our questions. But like I was saying, I'd like a remastered version of Metal Gear Solid, because that is one of my favorite games. As I said many times on the show, that is the game that really got me to look at video games a different way. Mm-hmm. So to play a remastered version of that, I'd love to do that. But I don't want them to change the game. I don't want the, if we're going to go back to Shadow Moses in a Metal Gear game, I don't want it to be a reimagined version of it. I want it to be the original game, just done in HD graphics and, you know, the same thing. And I really don't even, like, I know it's going to be blasphemous to say this, but I really don't even care if they put trophies in it. I just want to play an HD version of the game. And yes, I could go back and play the PlayStation 1 version of the game, and I'd love to do that, but I'd love to see what Shadow Moses looks like in HD.
It looks like Nintendo Cube, GameCube version. That's what it looks like. Even though it was still overhead, but it looks like that.
Now, Yield, I know you've been quiet other than to correct me on my Solid versus the NES version, but how do you feel about all this?
No, before you answer, you do know what Shadow Moses looked like in HD, because it was in part 4.
Yes, but that's not the same. No, that was a chunk of the opening scene. That wasn't the whole game.
Dude, the whole game took place on that base where you were in part 4. So, yeah, you've seen it.
It's not the same thing. Yield, how do you feel about all this?
I probably wouldn't play it. I've already played it before, so I'm kind of, for the most part, probably 95 to 80, 90%. I'm not big on the remasters. Now, I will say that some of the games that I didn't get to buy on the 3, I will probably buy the remastered or the extra editions on the 4, like Saints Row. I can't think. There, maybe Black Flag. You know, that way I can just, I can get my 4 and start my gaming on the 4. But I'm just, if I want to play it, I'll go back and play it. I mean, it might look crisper, it might look cooler, but I don't know. I'm just not big into it.
Yeah, you already know how I feel about remastered, but yeah, I would still play it also, but I really hope he doesn't fall through with this, but Ben Hodeo, I got a feeling that we just might see it in about 10 years.
All right.
Or less.
And our and that's going to bring us to the end of our articles, but we have a topic of the week, and I want to go through this, and I wish Alex was here, because I kind of like to get his opinion on some of these. A lot of information was given recently at the DICE event, which the headline reads, Sony's boss, PlayStation's boss, quote, hates annualized franchises, and he also discusses the console's history. Now, I don't want to read this whole article, but it kind of seems like I'm going to have to it a little bit. I'm going to chop it up to so I don't actually read it word for word. But I'm going to mention something, and then if you guys want to talk about that particular thing, just stop me, make a comment, and we can have a discussion. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep going with some of the information that came out. According to Yoshida, expectations and goals of both marketing teams and game developers can sometimes be hard to align. Marketing and sales often are profit-driven, which could foster a misunderstanding of situations such as game delays or sequels. In the early days of PlayStation, sequels were often seen as a wasted expense that rarely saw returns on the same level of originals, thus putting them out seemed risky to the more financial-driven teams. That in itself is pretty interesting. It says, however, Yoshida explained that once marketing teams saw that they could benefit from a year after year sequels and releases, they began to push for more, and this became even a tricky situation once game development cycles began to grow longer and longer. Marketing executives, he said, doesn't understand the development process leads them to draw comparisons to franchises such as Call of Duty and Assassin's Creed. Both of these see annual releases year in year and tend to make profit with few exceptions. But it doesn't always work that way. Yoshida explained that adding that, with all the due respect to the developers of these franchises, he, quote, hates annualized releases and wish they didn't happen.
Pause.
Go ahead, darling.
Yoshi, I just got points for me.
That's all you wanted to say?
No, I just wanted to say that first, but I kind of lost it now after that. No, this whole annual thing, and I like how you mentioned the fact how risky it is, because I also think that's very risky, because the whole, yes, the sequel in most cases, in a lot of cases, and not just the video game world, the sequel does less value than the original. But I think developers who are not financially driven, just to be coming out with a sequel just because they're getting the money to come out with it, but who really love and thinks the story holds weight, I think for gamers like us, for those financial driven companies and game developers, I don't think those are risky. I just think you're doing what you love, and that's what I hope. That's what I love the most in this field, in the entertainment field of video games, movies, or whatever you do. That's what I enjoy most. I would be more willing to put in money with that, because that right there shows me that you took time out for something that you love, and it's not just about the money. You get what I'm saying? Yes, we're doing it to make money, and we're happy that we're making money doing what we love. But at the same time, this whole, hey, Who doing a new Tomb Raider now? Is it still Exodus, or is that how you pronounce it?
Eidos?
Like
I think it's Crystal Dynamics.
Crystal Dynamics. Well, like, to me, for them to even accept that from Microsoft, the whole... it still haven't been reported in the news yet, but we all can make a real good a hypothesis that it was about the money. That for them to even accept that, to me, that was whack. That was whack of them. I mean, it was based money driven, financially driven. Like, we know that you didn't need the money. Well, I can't even say that either because I don't work for the company, but come on. Can't y'all just come out with the game the way y'all been doing it and just do it for the luck? I'm assuming that you rebuilt this franchise or rebooted the franchise because you love the franchise. And of course, on top of you loving the franchise, you love doing what you're doing. You love making video games, and you saw that the potential that Tomb Raider can hold if you reboot the series, because the series did fall downhill dramatically, and they brought it back with, to me, the best reboot of any game.
Okay, but to be fair, and not that I'm condoning what happened there, Square Enix did say that Tomb Raider and Sleeping Dogs were both failures in comparison to sales.
Oh, they said they said Tomb Raider, Sleeping Dogs. What was the other one that actually it sold? Oh, Hitman.
Hitman Absolution.
Absolution. They all said they failed, and actually, if you look at the numbers, they did really well.
Now that could be their expectations. Now, as you said, Donnie, we don't know if it was about money. We speculate that it was about money, and I heavily agree with that. But here's the problem with. Here's what I think probably happened. Crystal Dynamics was developing the game, and Square Enix turned around and said, okay, we're going to give you this much money to make the game. And this is what we're going to give you so we can publish it. If they didn't get enough money and they turned around to Microsoft, Microsoft said, we're going to give you $10 million to make this exclusive. In order to make the game, they may have needed to take that $10 million. Now, I don't know if that's true, but that's an option out there.
That could very well be an option, but as well as it sold, and I partly saw an article, someone, or maybe I saw someone point to an article that said if you look at the numbers, especially the HD remake numbers, it sold far more on the 3 and the 4 than it did on the 360 and the 1. And yet they kind of snuffed their Sony fan base. So I'm thinking that it just had to do more of the fact that Microsoft saw how much it sold and the following behind it and went, it didn't do well on our console, so here, we'll give you the money to make it really awesome and you can only play it on our system first.
And like I said, these are all hypotheses, but we are inclined to believe in both of those versions. And to me, that sucks. And then for them to, yes, the expectations is probably like way high, but yes, all this is a big risk, whether it's an old game and you're coming out with a sequel or a newly franchise or a newly game that you wish to hope to make it a franchise is a risk. But for them to have that expectation so high, and they know the downfall of the history of this game, for them to reboot it, the expectations shouldn't have been that high. As for them to talk about, sales.
I think their expectations were high because they were trying to recoup money that they lost on other franchises. Like they said, I think when I read that, what I was thinking was they were expecting to sell 10 million, you know, whatever the number may be, but I'm just going to throw numbers out here. That they were expecting to sell 10 million and they only sold 6. Therefore, it fell 4 million short of their projected goals. That's why I think they said it was a failure. Not necessarily because the game was bad or it didn't sell that well. I just don't think it led up to their expectations and what they thought they were gonna sell to recoup their losses and that they caught in other places.
Okay, first of all, what kind of market manager or person you got to control your money? Or whoever was talking at the drawing board, why would they even think that anyway of one thing?
I don't know that that's what they think. That, I mean, that's just what I think.
Let's just go with that. Like, why would they even think that one game, one product was going to make up for everything in their arsenal? And then on top of that, a game that failed so many years ago with so many games to just pick up and shoot out, like, and make up for their whole arsenal. You need to fire that guy.
I think it was a combination of Tomb Raider, Hitman, and Sleeping Dogs that they were hoping to recoup their losses. I don't think they were putting all their eggs in the Tomb Raider basket. I think it was just they needed these three games to sell this, and it didn't meet the quota. Therefore, in their eyes, it was a failure.
Okay, well,
I think what it was is it probably came out, and the media probably twisted it and turned it, and the message actually what they said is not what got reported to us. I think that's what really happened.
Whoever talking on the drum board, they need to stop having him talk. Just take notes. Because, in my opinion, Hitman was better than... The Hitman series was better than Tomb Raider.
Alright, well, we got a little off because we were talking about the franchise. But let's get back to the article real quick. Another thing he said was Yoshida was talking about how PlayStation got its name, and saying that being Sony that wanted to market the PlayStation towards a more adult audience, the decision was made to call the company Sony Computer Entertainment rather than Sony Game Entertainment. Marketing towards adults was not the only thing that separated PlayStation from the rest of the industry. However, Yoshida also mentioned that Sony's emphasis on 3D graphics, proper animations, and the use of a disc over a cartridge helped pave the way for PlayStation's success, despite industry-wide skepticism. I can't say that word. My throat is still... Listeners, you can probably tell I'm still sick. Sony closed out by discussing the launch of the PlayStation 4 and acknowledging some of the console's struggles over the last few months. He points to the game launch difficulties, delays, massive DDoS attacks on the PlayStation Network, and some of the more problems that keep him up at night. Yoshida also said that Sony put a tremendous resources in hardware and software development, but admitted it didn't put the same emphasis on network development, and he said that they will continue to focus on that in the future.
What the heck, man? That's what I said. See, y'all talk about me, and I say everything that comes to pass. He said the same thing I said about the whole network and their power and all that stuff. But anyway, to the article.
Well, that is the end of the article.
Yeah, I know. I didn't mention the whole fact of this whole annual thing, how he hates it all, which is, to me, that's good, and he should talk to developers and about that stuff.
You got to realize Sony also puts out an annual franchise itself, and that being MLB The Show.
The Show, that's Sony.
That's developed by Sony. Yes. Now, granted, that is a sports franchise, so it kind of gets the pass in a way.
No, it doesn't. Sports do not get the pass.
Sports games kind of get a pass because they are sports and they are an every year thing. But on the same token, it is an annualized franchise, so it really doesn't get a pass in what he was saying.
No, I don't agree with any game having a pass with annual games, because sports most definitely, out of any of them, sports most definitely don't deserve to have that title or pass, because we had this thing that we got game systems all connected to with the network. All you do, you got to hook the game, have your system connected to the network, and it updates your system automatically.
But everybody's not connected to the internet.
Okay, but
and
still,
in the case of Yield's internet's shitty, so he, you know, doing updates every 2-3 days doesn't really exactly work.
Yes, of course we all know that everybody doesn't have everything. Yes, and I'm included with all that stuff. I don't always have network and all that stuff, but still. These games do not need to be coming out yearly. First of all, it devalues the game experience of even the hardest chorus of fans. Like, if Metal Gear came out yearly, I probably wouldn't be the biggest fan as I am. And that's my number one game of all times, the franchise of all times. If any of these games come out yearly, I will probably only buy I will only buy like every 3 to 4 years. And then the rest of them, I just look at the story online. Especially in the sports, I would buy probably every, 3 to 4 years also. You're connected to the network. All you got to do is update. And they do all the stats that's updated in the real world. It update on your system. On Madden 2014 now have 2015 stats. Even 2013 has 2015 stats now. So that yearly buying of these games, it devalues the game. But like I said, like it was mentioned on many times before, which I'm surprised he didn't mention it in this article, is that they'd come out with them because they know people is going to buy them anyway. I'm surprised he didn't mention that in there, but that's the sole reason why I feel why they come out with these games yearly. They have multiple games in the same year. I mean, how many games has come out of Assassin's Creed in 2014, right before 2015? So I guess we can slide
But two versions of Assassin's Creed came out in 2014, but they were also, one was for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, the other one was for the PlayStation 3 and the 360. So it's two different versions of the game, but it was for two different generation of consoles.
Three games.
What was the third game?
Xbox version?
Which one, the 360 or the One?
Well, they made it for both, right? Both Xboxes was on both, right?
Unity was made for the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. Rogue was made for the PS3 and the 360.
No, Rogue was for. No, it's another Assassin's Creed game that came out either late last year or very early this year, which is only the beginning of the second month of this year.
No.
Three games has came out of Assassin's Creed.
No, Donnie. Unless you're talking about the Vita version to consoles. Is that what you're talking about?
Liberty? Is that the female one? No, I'm not talking about that.
That there was only two games made last year.
No, it's another game. It's another game, but that's going to walk through. I mean,
I'm going to do the housekeeping. If you can find it by the time I'm done with the show, bring it up. But I don't think I think you're wrong about that.
Okay, I could be, but all right.
All right, ProofGamer.com is looking for some staff members. We're looking for some writers, podcasters, video editors, news reports, and generalized help with the site. If you're interested in applying, go to the website, click on the Help Wanted tab, and fill out the application, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. While you're on the site, be sure to check out all of our articles and check out all of our videos. Speaking of our videos could be found on YouTube by doing a search for Official Proving Gamer. If you're listening to this podcast, we greatly appreciate it. Be sure to check out our other podcast, PG Spoilers. Both podcasts are found on iTunes and Stitcher and various podcast applications on your smartphones. If you listen to us on iTunes or Stitcher, thank you. And we'd appreciate it if you could stop by, leave a rating, preferably 5 stars, and let us know how good of a job we're doing or how bad of a job we're doing. Either way, we want to hear what you have to say. Speaking of wanting to hear what you want to say, there are several ways you can get a hold of us. You can send us an email, trophyhorse@provinggamer.com. You can call us. Yield, what's that phone number?
330-PROVEN-9. It's 330-776-8369.
Did you look on the agenda again?
Yeah, because I was reading something and I couldn't think.
You can get hold of us by contacting us on Twitter. You can contact the site at Proven Gamer. You can contact the show at Trophy Yours. You can contact me at Tricky Mick. You can contact Donnie at Young Twist. You can contact Yield at I Yield to No One. And you can contact Alex at Saundersaurus Rex. You know, I've been doing this so long that I always forget, like I'm forgetting something before I move on to our sponsors. Okay, speaking of our sponsors, I will talk about Extra Life because Alex is not here to do it this week. Extra Life is a 24-hour marathon, this year being 25-hour marathon, to raise money for pediatric cancer research and treatment. Please stop by extra-life.org and join up. You could join several teams. We do have a Proven Gamer team, which I am the captain of. I'd like to see your support. Bear in mind that I get this question a lot. If you join the Proven Gamer team, yes, you can still raise money for your local hospital. Joining the team just shows that as a group of people, we are raising money and our total goes in to show that we have enough people in our group to show that we got massive support and we raise money as a group. But the money still does go to your local hospital. But so we would be honored if you would join the Proven Gamer family in the Extra Life community. But the most important thing is to sign up and raise money for your local hospital, because that is the most important thing. Our next sponsor is our GoFundMe.
GoFundMe.
Yes, our GoFundMe, which is www.gofundme.com/ProvenGamer. We are trying to raise some money for some podcast equipment, and we're also going to try to raise some money for Donnie's smoke detector. If you could and would, please stop by, donate what you can, 50 cents, a dollar, whatever you can. There are incentive levels, including, I think it's the $100 level. I got to write this down one time. The $100 level, I think, is Donnie gets to sing you a song personalized to you. For $250 donation, you can get any one of your whores to get a platinum in any game of your choosing on their personal PlayStation Network account. Which I gotta tell you, this is tax time, so I was actually thinking about donating $250 and having Alex get the Hannah Montana platinum.
You can't say that. Yeah. Have somebody else anonymously donate it, because if you say you do it,
well,
it's
going
to be a big old thing.
But here's the thing. Alex ain't here, so he's not going to hear me say it. And he never listens to the shows, so therefore he'll never know I say it unless you chew dark on me. So, hey! It is what it is. But, yes, we're trying to raise some money for some podcast equipment, so please stop by, donate what you can, if you can. Every little thing is appreciated. And, let's go on to our last sponsor. Donnie, who are we sponsored by? Amazon! Hey, tell us about Amazon, Donnie.
Well, if you go to our website, provagamer.com, there's a tab in the corner of the screen. It would take you to Amazon, do your shopping as usual, and a portion of your checkout will come to provagamer.com to help fund the website. Not us, but Provagamer.
Yes. you're gonna have to work on that, Donnie. Three takes is a little bit too much.
Yes, I do.
And I do realize what I forgot, because I forgot on last week's episode, last episode and this episode is our Facebook page. If you could go to facebook.com/ProvenGamer and please hit that like button and get involved in some of the discussions that are going on there. We would love to communicate with you. Cause right now our main form of communication with our listeners is Twitter, which is limited to 140 characters. So we can't really, express all that we want to express, especially with, having to call Jurassic Park out to being a chump, exposing him for his chumpness. Yield, I'm surprised you're not jumping in to defend Parky there.
No, I'm typing something.
I realize that. I can hear the clicking. Oh. Yes, Donnie.
I have some topic of the week DLC.
Topic of the week DLC. Go ahead.
Yes, I was wrong. I was actually wrong by actually like three of them. There's five games of Assassin's Creed that came out.
In 2014,
we have Assassin's Creed Rogue Unity. Also, well, if you want to include Liberations, the HD remake is 5, but also have Assassin's Creed Memory and Identity, and a new one they're working on for 2015, which is Dead Kings.
Well, Dead Kings is DLC for Unity.
Oh, okay, well.
But the other ones are mobile games. Those aren't console games.
It don't make a difference. They're still working on all these freaking Assassin's Creed games in 1 year.
Yes, but it's not the same, Donnie.
How are they not the same?
Because since when
a spinoff is not the same?
Because it's not the...
The main game? Yes,
no, it's not the same. It's not like the team that made Unity is also working on that game. It's a different team altogether.
But they...
All right, Donnie, we're going to agree to disagree. Yes, there are five Assassin's Creed games, but there was only two that came out to consoles. So.
Three.
You want to bring Liberations into it?
Yeah. I don't see why. HD remakes always counted up until to this point, so three. Don't tell me that HD remakes ain't been counted for everything we talk about.
Listen, I'm going to leave that alone.
Three.
All right. I asked you, and you said no, that's not what you were thinking of, so you can't go back now.
No. I just remember that y'all count HD remakes.
I just remember that. What
so
do you
yes,
mean, y'all?
Three.
Alright, let's go on to our shout outs. Let's try to close out this show. Your shout outs, buddy.
Shout out to, like I said before, Prepared Dire Scum. That was a heck of a battle with Terramorphous, and I'm glad to get that off my checklist. Shout out to you guys for recording every week. Shout out to Alex, who wasn't able to be here for this episode.
And a torpedo to you for tweeting out to Alex right now. Before we even finish the show, that I'm going to donate the money to make him platinum hat in Montana. So twerp you, mofo.
Hey,
we're not even done with the show yet. You're already narking on me. Where's the loyalty?
We got to stick together.
Where's the loyalty? Bros before hoes, man. Bros before hoes.
I am.
That's right, I called Alex a hoe.
I'm informing a fellow bro that the other bro is trying to sell him out.
No, I called Alex a hoe.
So, shout out to the listeners for listening every week. I hope it's a highlight of your week. Because it actually is really fun to record, and
it is.
Yeah, that'll do me for this week. And a shout out, actually, to this awesome T-shirt that I'm going to be buying.
All right, and Donnie, your shout outs.
Want to give a shout out to the listeners as usual. Give a shout out to Alice, man. You should have been here for this one, especially. Yeah, the topic of the week. I think we would have had something good to say. Tricky, you too. Well, yeah, you too. Nah. I'm lost, man, because, yeah, I pretty much said everything less than an hour ago.
All right, and I want to give a shout-out to our listeners and everybody else, and I want to give a twerp you. Yield's not going to get the only twerp you this week. I want to give a twerp you to Pete Carroll, who... in his infinite wisdom, decided not to let Marshawn Lynch run the ball in to win the Super Bowl and wound up costing the Seahawks the Super Bowl. And now I have to listen to another year of Patriots fans claiming that they're the best franchise ever.
Oh, shout out DLC. It's about Jurassic Park. Well,
we don't discuss Jurassic Park on the show no more.
Well,
I told you that.
This one.
Even though you cut it out of the show two episodes ago.
Look,
I'm calling that mofo
this.
Out.
I think you would like this one, Tricky.
I don't know.
Before we recorded on the first episode, the first one today, he was playing Megamind, and I messaged him and saying, hey, Megamind, huh? And he was like, yes, I'll pretty much play anything to pass Tricky right now.
Because I called him a chump on Twitter about it. And his response to me was, at least it's not Hannah Montana. So it's just as bad. And then he tweeted back, nothing as bad as Hannah Montana.
Yeah. I retweeted that one.
So, we don't talk about Jurassic Park on the show because he's a chump. So, if there's nothing else, until next week, happy trophy hunting.
Peace out.
Check it. You done made it to another one.
Replay.
Oh, download another one.
Continue your whoredom.
Or you can go and do a Tricky Man and
chop it.
However you do it just to look at the ray and leave a comment. And thanks again and listen to the show. Now it's time for me to go. Peace out to another episode.